We're going to begin a short series of sermons this week on some of the benefits we receive from this hour that we enjoy on Sunday in worship. And today I'm talking about the wonder, the gift we receive of a quieted soul that can often come from an experience of God in worship. And then next week we're going to recognize our graduates, I believe, and I'm going to talk about the wonder of an encouraged heart. And so first, the wonder of a quieted soul. There's two scripture readings this morning. I'm reading from the psalmist, Psalm 46, some selected verses there, and then from Matthew chapter 6, just a few verses. First, Psalm 46. Let us give our attention now to the reading of God's word. Psalm 46 begins, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. And therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake and the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. And then moving to verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And then turning to the New Testament in Matthew's gospel, a few selected verses in chapter 6. Some wonderful teachings there in chapter 6 by Jesus. And this is what he says beginning at verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? And then verse 34, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Let's pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord and our God, as we consider this hour on Sunday, this Sabbath day that you have asked us to set aside from all other days, that you have made holy, that you have made different from all other days, remind us that in this time together with you, wherever we are, whether it's here in worship or an experience of you by the sea, walking on the beach, or in the mountains as we enjoy your splendor of the skies and the heavens, wherever we are enjoying this time with you together, remind us that miracles can happen during such times. And as this pandemic continues to reach a conclusion, we pray for all those people who have suffered because they have not had the opportunity to connect with you in a long time. And so we pray for them wherever they are, that they may have this enjoyment, this gift that you have given us as your people to worship and adore you. Through Christ's name, amen. I want to begin with some beliefs about worship. The hour of worship that we spend together on Sunday is a big deal to God. You know that to be true because in God's commandments, it's one of the most important commandments to worship the Lord our God. And then the act of worship is recorded all through scriptures in both the Old and the New Testament. To glorify God, you see, is our chief end as human beings. It's our purpose. We have many other activities that we're called to do that take up our time as individuals, as people, and we also have many other church activities that are important as well. But this hour of worship, this arguably 60-minute service that we're together, gives us a magnificent opportunity to receive an enormous gift. The gift of slowing down, the gift of encountering the very presence of God, and the gift, yes, the gift of even wrestling with some of the deep issues in our lives. And during this hour, people of all ages, young and old, regular church members, newcomers to Northwood, we have the opportunity in this time to draw closer to God, arguably than any time during the week, because we're doing it together, whether it's live streaming or in person. We're coming together to draw closer to God, who is our Heavenly Father. And so this is a special time together. And we're going to celebrate that over the coming weeks that follow. I want to say to you, as your pastor, as I help plan and lead worship with other staff members that we have that do this and our voices in praise, I regularly receive the gift of a quieted soul during this hour. I continually discover that just this brief experience with our transcendent God here causes me to come out of church as a changed person every week. If only a little bit, I come out as a changed person every single week. Which is one of the wonders of worship I want us to consider today, the gift that God gives us of a quieted soul. Because you know as well as I do that life can get very hectic. Yes, we've been sheltered at home for some time, but it's going to get busy real quick. And we ought to really shape our priorities by making this hour of worship one of the most critical times in our lives. And we all know that we'll be bombarded again by noise and information if we haven't been so already. The technology explosion, the cell phones, the email, the voicemail created a culture where people are never out of reach. You're never out of reach. Even by that email fiend that tries to get a gift card from you, right? You're never out of reach. Add to this the relentless barrage of radio, XM radio in our cars, the internet we have to listen to, Netflix, Amazon, television, magazines, Zooming. And when you realize all of this, you realize how our lives are continuing to escalate. They're not slowing down, are they? I would suggest to you that most people would consider the gift of a quieted soul well worth any time spent in worship. And yes, of course, there are some times when we would like to build a fire under some folks just to get them moving. However, the point in this message is that there is another side other than just moving. There is another side of life beside just doing and doing and doing things. If we are to have balance, if we are going to do that, to have balance, then part of our lives needs to be about receiving. Because the scriptures tell us our bodies are like clay jars, and clay jars can be filled with just anything, really. But we have to be receptacles in which we'll experience the Spirit of God. And that comes from reflection. It comes from quiet moments like this. And as human beings, we require times like this. Times to be alone, times to be together in silence, times to meditate and reflect, times to develop patience. Because we will often face situations, if we aren't even this week facing situations that we really can't do anything at all about. Those times do come. And if those times don't come soon enough, then what we do find is we often run ourselves down. We're going so fast and we run ourselves down and we find we need to be still. We need this hour to empower us. We need this hour to refresh us. And then there are also those intervals in life that we need, like taking a vacation or being a week, even being away even if we're a weekend, or taking a Sunday and truly making it a Sabbath day, a day that is different from all other days in the week, from our habits and routines, a day that is special, a day that is devoted to our faith in God. And so this is a time for us to connect with God. It's a time for us to reaffirm that when we have done everything that we can do in life, we need to remember that there are times that we need to be still, that we need to stop, that we need to rely on God and trust that God will do God's part after we have done all that we can do. I'm very fond of Abraham Lincoln, one of my favorite presidents, and especially one of his favorite verses in the Bible. Lincoln was known as a man of action. He was a great doer. But his favorite verse was taken from the time in the Bible where the children of Israel were escaping Egypt Moses was leading them out of Egypt. Pharaoh had let them go, and they come to that barrier of the Red Sea, and the chariots and the horsemen are right behind them, and they can't get across, and they're anxious about what to do next. And it's from that scene that Lincoln's favorite verse comes, when Moses cries out to his people, "Stand still and see the mighty acts of God." It's his favorite verse. In other words, stand still and let God do what you cannot at times do for yourself. And there are those times when we can do nothing. Well, if we're to find the wonder of a quieted soul, let me suggest some ways that you can find that when I stop getting tongue-tied this morning. First, you can discover a quieted soul by simply being in worship and affirming together with all of us that you're loved by God. One author has said that many people believe that Jesus came to earth and died. Many people believe this, that Jesus came to earth and died to persuade God that we are worthy to be loved. But that's simply not so. That's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches that Jesus came to earth to persuade us that God already loves us and God already forgives us and that Jesus has come to save us. And so we can stop trying to add up good deeds out of guilt or in hopes that God might at some point love us in the future if we're good enough. And the point being that God loves you in spite of. God's grace is sufficient in spite of all that we lack and all that we need. God's love is already there. And by accepting that fact, all of your anxiety can be taken out of your life and you can freely do things in service to God simply out of gratitude for what God has done for you. And so first, claim God's unconditional love. And then secondly, to discover the wonder of a quieted soul, I find it helpful as we continue to come out of this paralyzing pandemic to do so by taking one day at a time. One day at a time. We all need to hear that, I believe, as individuals, as families, as churches. I believe we need to hear it as a nation. We worry too much about what we have to do tomorrow and the week after that to restart something else that we stopped before the pandemic. And it's a great burden. It really is if you or I have to get all of that done today. We can all fall under the illusion that everything and everybody needs to just hurry up and get back to some sort of new normal, like everything was before the pandemic. And the truth of the matter is that will take time because the Egyptian Empire and the Roman Empires weren't built in just a day. It will take more time than we really want to give it, but it really will take time. And I would suggest to you it will take one step at a time, one day at a time. I have said to my family, I've said to our church staff, I've said to our session, it will be more painful, it will be more difficult to come out of the pandemic than it was to go into it. When you think about it, it was relatively easy to go into the pandemic because we could do nothing. We could do nothing. I remember days going up US 19 or coming south on 19, the first days of the pandemic when people really stayed home. And it was like Christmas morning. It was just dead. There was no one out. It was an eerie experience. And now I'm noticing I'm at red lights much more often on US 19, waiting and waiting and waiting. Everyone seems to move to Florida, don't they? Well, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Today's trouble is enough for today. Isn't that so true? If you don't have enough trouble today, see me after the service. Maybe you can take some of mine. I'm happy to give it to you. You know, when someone presses you about when you may do something that you did in the past again in the future, when you're going to get started, one suggestion is you could say to them, you know, I'm not sure when I'll do that. But here's what I do know, that with God's help and the help of a few of my friends, I'm just going to manage the next 24 hours. That's all I can do today. Anxious, doing, fretting, worrying, and imagining that nothing is being done is not helpful. And it can take all the juice, all the excitement, all the enjoyment out of life. And so live one day at a time. Thirdly, to enjoy the gift of a quieted soul, remember and take to heart Psalm 46. Psalm 46 records God saying, "Be still and know that I am God." I think that's a message all of us need to hear. The psalmist is recording God saying that. And that's because God knows the deep things, the lasting things in life often come in times of quiet, in times of reflection, when we're not just doing. But perhaps times of planning are important too, times of just being still. I love the quote from the Christian author Annie Lamont. She writes, "Almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you." Fourthly, if you are to live this life with the wonder of a quieted spirit, it will be because that you trust God with your future. Even after a pandemic, I can tell you, we can trust God for the future. Now, I want to say to you this morning, after saying all that I've said, that I'm not counseling you to stop planning for tomorrow. Never stop planning. There are too many good list makers in this audience and too many good planners here to let me get away with that kind of advice, and that's not what I'm saying. But the point is, planning isn't our problems. It isn't the problem of a Presbyterian, for sure. Hear me lovingly when I say this. The problem is that we have so often overshot the mark and try to plan everything. It's true in our own lives, and it's especially true, I find, in the work of the church. Trying to do things perfectly in your life and mine is the enemy of all the good that we are doing, and we're doing a lot of good. We need to trust that God's timing is always perfect in our lives as individuals and in our lives as a church, our lives as a nation. God has helped us in the past, God is with us in the present, and God will be there and is already planning the future. I want to close this morning with a few comments about how, if you choose to, how you can really get rid of a quieted spirit. Some of us are doing that now, trying to get rid of any serenity and any peace that we have. And let me suggest to you some ways that you can do that if that's what you want to do. I believe you can do it. I think you have it in you. I believe in you. It's not as hard as you think. And here are some ways to lose that wonder of a quieted soul after all that I've said. To do so, first and most importantly, always dwell on the opinions of others. That's so important. You see, you have to hold on to the belief that the opinions of other people are the most important things in your life. Also, always worry what other people think about you. This way, you always have to have your reputation well managed. It's important to do that throughout life. Always manage your reputation. Never let offenses go, ever. Especially if the offenses are coming from people that you've never met in life. Always remember that if someone says something online on the internet, it's probably true. Another good way to get rid of a quieted soul is to just control people as best as you can. And that means, for parents, control your kids. And parents, control your parents. And if others get out of control, just control harder. That's the way you do it. It's the way to lose all the serenity that you've mustered up over the years. And also, always, always, always follow the news every single day. The news is the most important thing in your life, if you haven't realized that already. If you want to lose your sense of peace, be up to date with all that is happening in every branch and level of government and in our school system, and then constantly worry about it, that you're missing something that you didn't get from one channel or another on the radio. Trust me, this will get rid of your peace and serenity. It will rid you completely of a quieted soul after being in an hour of worship. And if you want to get rid of your quieted soul, remember that you are only what you do. For those graduates, you are only what you become. You're only what your degree says you are. And especially remember, you're only what you have in life. You're only your possessions. That's the sum of all that you are. And so make sure you have only the nicest things, because without them, life is meaningless. Friends, you can get rid of your peace and serenity if you follow that kind of advice. But we don't have to do that, because God is so good to us. We're coming to this Lord's table in just a moment to realize just how God's goodness and grace has been poured out to us through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And that through the power of God and the wonder of an hour in God's presence on Sunday, we can have the gift in life of a quieted soul. And that will be a strength for us and a refuge and strength for many, many days and years of our lives. And so to receive this gift, remember that you are already loved. Live one day at a time. Take moments and just stop. And pray and be receptive to God's voice. And finally, then remember to trust God with your future. For God's always out there, a day ahead of you. Let's pray as we come to the communion. O Lord and our God, we give you thanks that as we come to this table, you promise that at this table, we will partake of your grace and love, and that we will never hunger again and we will never thirst again. And that you will give us here in this hour of worship many wonders. And the first wonder we consider today is we know that you give us this gift of a quieted soul. And so we thank you. And as we come to this table, gracious God, we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, and that this bread that we break and the cup that we bless, may they be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. And by your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one together in every place. And this bread is Christ's body for us. O Lord, help us, O God, to love as Christ loved. Keep us in this love so that we can embrace all who the world denies. May we be your servants, because we have been in this place for this hour. Use us as your ambassadors of peace and serenity and wholeness for all who feel broken. And so now we come to this table. Give us your presence. Amen.